Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of August, recording at 9:42 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and there were some interesting ones. Stock markets, it was a storming performance here. The Asian stock markets were all up, although Japan barely so, due to the strength of the yen. The European stock markets showed solid gains here, up to, well, the highest that I can see on my screen was the Spanish IBEX market, up 3.2%. The Americas had pretty solid gains. Canada was closed today, incidentally, but the S&P ended up over 24 points, and that's 2.20%, and the Dow up 2%, 1.8% on the NASDAQ composite. Government bonds fell against this background, although not heavily, except the U.S. bond is down, the 30-year bond, that is down 105 pips. The commodity markets were mostly strong. Now, in metals, we had a very solid performance by industrial metals. For instance, the copper price is back up to 339. And you remember, it wasn't all that long ago that it was down below the $3 level. So strength across the boards in among those industrial metals. Now, in precious metals, gold sort of seesawed here today, closed with a modest gain. It's currently at $1,183.25. Platinum was strong, $1,603. Palladium back up to $512.20. Silver was quite firm, $1,838.50. The grain and bean complex, which has been on fire, saw a bit of profit taking in here today, later towards the close, closing mixed. Also, sugar saw a little bit of profit taking, as did coffee. These had been awfully strong recently. Lumber was firm. That's again one of the more depressed industrial commodities recently. That firmed up. We had a turn on the natural gas here today, just literally turned on a dime and formed a downside K-day reversal. It's down 200 ticks as I speak. But crude oil broke above $80 once again and is currently trading at $81.50. So again, firm action. The U.S. dollar was weak. It's down against pretty well everything. Sterling's up to 158.94. The euro's up to 131.81. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, investors increasingly seem to be concluding that this environment of mostly fairly abundant liquidity, a number of cashed up investors, quite reasonable valuations overall, is low interest rates, of course, mostly low interest rates. They have been edging upwards in the progressing economies, but mostly lower interest rates around the world, and certainly in the U.S. and also in Europe, that this is a favorable background for equities. And I'm glad to say that's very much in line with what has been the Fuller Money thinking for some time, although the markets have been buffeted by all sorts of problems and concerns. But as those fade a bit, for instance, the euro, it wasn't all that long ago that people were talking about a complete breakup of the euro, and now they're saying, well, you know, actually, Germany's doing awfully well here, isn't it, in terms of its exports. So bears out the point that unless a crisis continues to worsen, or once a crisis fails to continue to worsen, it's no longer viewed as a crisis. And once it stabilizes, it's viewed as a recovery, ditto Sterling and the UK economy. The focal point of global concerns, once again, and there's irony in this, but it wasn't very long ago that the US dollar and the US economy was being described as a safe haven, bound to do better than Europe and bound to do better than the UK, going to lead us out of recession. Well, it's the weak link here right now, sadly. And the dollar is the soft currency here right now, even though the Japanese need a weaker currency more than the arguably more than the US economy does, but they're not getting it. So a lot's been going on here, to put it mildly, in terms of choppy overall volatility. But the bottom line here is that people are concluding that equities are not a bad thing in here today. And with all that forecast of Kondratiev cycle depressions and so on, and recessions in perpetuity, people are saying, well, who can deal with this best? And they're concluding corporations. Well, we have to be careful about all this because sentiment is really quite fragile, but we've got the strong part of the global economy, and that is really centered on those Asian emerging markets, plus the subcontinent, India. And then there's that strong logical alliance between the resources producers and the Asian region with its big population. So that's good for everyone from oil producers to the commodity producers of Central and South America. And these are the regions of the globe that are really doing quite well right now, whereas most of these OECD economies are under the cosh, as it were. And the strongest of the OECD economies are major commodity exporters, such as Canada and Australia and New Zealand. So that's the way of the world in here. The rally that I mentioned in the beginning of July, when we started to get some upward dynamics from a very oversold, what I described as an irrationally oversold level, described it that way on a number of occasions, right around that end of June and beginning of July. I think that's been borne out here by the strength of this rally. Will it spill over and go into a reaction and ranging phase? It looked a little bit as if that was happening last week, but then we got this burst in here again today. So, repeat that question, will it spill over into a reaction and ranging phase? Probably, but I don't think that reaction phase is going to take the market back down to test the early July lows. That's an outside risk, but I think the strength that we've seen and presumably counting here means that markets will do a little bit better than that. There's an outside chance that they could do a lot better, but the script that I've been describing here for a number of weeks is that we get this ranging correction. No, we're not going to go back and test the March 2009 lows. Worst case is that the stock markets find support from the upper regions of their former base formations, and few of those have been tested. So actually, the markets have been firmer, although it was a big, difficult correction, and some stock markets have done almost nothing for the better part of a year. in here, just range sideways. But my script, as I say, was for this more sideways activity, and that would probably bode well for markets in the fourth quarter of the year. Now, if markets do better than all of us expect, myself included, between now and, say, October, then that would take some of the gloss off the year-end rally, I think almost inevitably. But overall, I think what we see here does suggest that our young cyclical bull market, which really exploded out of the ashes of that meltdown that we saw in 2008, and for some markets the first quarter of 2009, that young cyclical bull market got quite overextended, and that has been followed by a very lengthy reaction and consolidation phase. Markets have not lost touch with reality because it really was a big corrective phase, lots of ranging, allowing corporate profits to catch up in many instances, allowing valuations to improve overall, and we are now back on a somewhat firmer footing overall. That's my view. And again, the fuller money themes are doing well in here. The lead ones, say these Asian emerging markets, India, all firm. The ones that had been under a cloud, the industrial miners, starting with the Australian tax, and then the concern over China's so-called slowdown. What it was really was a major increase in the reserve requirements for banks. And a lot of IPOs from the banks to shore them up in case, in expectation of some bad loans due to the property speculation. So that really caused a more pessimistic assessment overall, and that weighed quite heavily on the industrial miners, but the sector's starting to snap back very strongly here right now. And themes, fuller money themes that had been dormant, these things can't all be strong all the time, that's for sure. But ones that have been dormant, for instance, the rare earths, I mean, those have really taken off. Another one, even more important one, the nuclear shares, those are picking up. That looks quite interesting. Uranium looks like it's bottoming out. Energy, in terms of the oil-related energy, is firm. Although there have been trade-off factors there. One is what I've described as the rising floor beneath crude following the BP disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. But that's the positive side. The negative trade-off is that everybody knows that offshore drilling will be more expensive, pretty much wherever it is, because everybody will be on guard against these spills. And quite frankly, they will also want to make sure that if anything does go wrong, or when the next accident does occur, that they'll be able to clean up just as the U.S. economy, and literally and figuratively, just as the U.S. economy is doing in terms of the amount this is costing BP. So there we are, hardly the end of the world in terms of stock markets, and I quite like the outlook overall. Gold's taken a bit of a back seat here in recent weeks. Some subscribers have expressed amazement that I sold my gold shares, but you know, I always said I would, and I'd had a good run in those and figured they were going to be quiet for a while, so why not move on to some other things. I increased my yield when I bought Shell and lowered the speculative aspect of the portfolio, hopefully. And I'm looking around and wondering if I should have more resources, non-gold resources for the time being, or should I have more emerging markets. Haven't quite made up my mind on that. And I've got a bit of cash to invest, but I will hopefully work out what I'm going to do with that, decide what I'm going to do with that before the end of the week. And on that note, I will say all the best to all of you, and I'm sure you're also looking forward to what tomorrow brings. Interesting times. All the best.